Greetings. Praise the Lord. What a joy to be gathered together like this to worship our Lord Jesus, sharing together of the goodness of God and the abundance of His riches and of His grace toward us. Thank you, Brother Elam, for sharing with us this morning what God is doing in your heart and taking you on and establishing and settling you. And I trust that can be an inspiration to all of us as we look unto our Lord Jesus today. Well, I guess some of y'all got a hotline last evening about the subject for today. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you bring your Bibles? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thought of it only now as I was sitting here that I think on the front cover of our missions newsletter, is that the one where it says, many have none? And how many Bibles do I possess? How many do we have? So we want to talk about the Bible today, the Word of God. Why believe the Bible? This is a big subject. Many ways we could go with it. And my heart this morning is that this time of sharing together can be unto edification and to just increasing our love and appreciation for our God and for His letter to us, the Word of God, and that we can just grow in our hunger and thirst for the Lord and an establishment in the Word of God in our hearts. Let us open our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3 for our beginning scripture as we look at this subject. 2 Timothy 3, and let's go to shall we start in verse 15? Let's stand together to read this. 2 Timothy 3. And verse 15, let's read it all together. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, we are so grateful to have the written Word of God in a language that we can read and understand. Father, we are so grateful that You've preserved Your Word to us down through the generations and history of time, Lord. Though many have attacked the Word of God, many have tried to destroy and stamp it out. But here we are today with a copy of the Word of God in our own language. Father, I pray that today as we look into the Word of God, that it will breathe living epistles, statutes into our heart, Lord, that we may be strengthened, that we may be thoroughly furnished and be perfected in Christ. Father, that the Word of God may be profitable unto us today, and not only today, but in the days to come, Lord, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And that we can also have that testimony that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Father, we pray for that here today, Lord. Those who may be wrestling, those who do not know You, those who have not believed, O God, that the Word of the Lord may make wise unto salvation the doubters and the scoffers. O Lord, we pray, Father, take this Word and wing it deep into our hearts.
Father, thank you that the Word of God, it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharp. So Lord, we just pray, have your way. I pray that everyone that shares today, that all may be unto edification. O Lord, we love you. We love thy kingdom. We love thy word. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Why believe the Bible? I'm going to ask you all to help me here. Give me some input this morning as to why do you believe the Bible that you hold in your hand is the Word of God? What are some of the compelling things that speak to your heart that the Bible is the Word of God? And it's divinely inspired and given unto us. I think I'll start with writing a few things up here on the board. But let me ask you, as you look at the Scriptures, what is it that may be one of the most compelling arguments that the Scriptures are the Word of God? Someone just open up and share out with me this morning. Prophecy fulfilled. That is the very first one that I had on my list. Prophecy fulfilled. All right. Can someone give me some of those prophecies that have been fulfilled that give you that confidence that it is the Word of God? Maybe we should have the microphone so that all can hear. If the ushers are ready, prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. Someone have some prophecies that have been fulfilled that you would like to share with us here this morning. What are one of the major prophecies fulfilled in Scripture that we read about not only dozens of times, but hundreds? Someone want to share? Jesus coming. The coming of Christ the Messiah. Okay, prophecies fulfilled. Of Jesus coming. Anybody want to venture how many of those there may be throughout the Old Testament? Approximately. You're smiling. I'm not spelling very good, am I? How many approximately prophecies in the Old Testament are there of Jesus coming? 300. 300? George? 3,000? There are many. I believe, according to what I have studied here, there is well over 300. Anyone else care to venture farther? Over how many years were those prophecies spread, and how many different prophets prophesied of Jesus coming?
Over 4,000 years.
Over 4,000 years. Men prophesied of a coming Redeemer, Messiah. The prophecies were spoken down to very minute detail. What a blessing it would be this morning to just have a few of those that were spoken down to minute detail. Someone want to share some? What are some of the prophecies concerning Christ's coming that were given in down to a real minute detail?
He'd ride a donkey.
He'd ride a donkey? And was it fulfilled? Absolutely. It was fulfilled right down to the exact minutest detail. Yes, brother. Out of Egypt have I called my son.
Born of a virgin.
In Bethlehem. Others.
Made in the
laid in a manger. And all these prophecies were prophesied by different prophets at different points in history and down to such minute detail. Just amazing. Could this possibly have been the scheme of some brilliant scholar? Impossible. Impossible. It is absolute evidence of proof of divine inspiration of the Almighty God as He inspired men and spoke to men, and they spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. The Bible. It's the book given to man of direct revelation from God. The Greek word Biblos meaning the book. It's the book of all books. You know, the Bible still today is the number one bestseller. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God, though many mock it and discard it, the Word of the Lord stands sure. Like I said, there are so many ways we could go with this subject. Prophecies of Christ. He should teach by parables. He should be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, how could a prophet prophesy that Jesus Christ the Messiah would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, not 29, not 50, but 30? And it was fulfilled exactly. And that 30 pieces of silver is then going to be used to purchase a potter's field where they're going to bury strangers in. I mean, those prophets prophesied detail. And it was fulfilled right down to the exact minutest detail. In fact, when we look at the New Testament, often we will see that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. You know, they came to the crosses, the three crosses, and they break the legs of the two other thieves that were crucified. But when they came to Jesus, they did not break His legs. Not a bone of His shall be broken. It was prophesied. So many things. There's another very clear mark of the supernatural, the beyond human abilities of the Word of God. There are many. But what would be another one besides the prophecies fulfilled and of Jesus coming? What would be some of the others? Help me out. What are some other clear indicators? Yes, Dale.
When people follow it, their lives are changed.
Yes. Amen. When people follow the Word of God, their lives are changed. And I have that as a later one. What I'm looking for is what are some other clear signs? Yes, Brother Adam.
Consistency from cover to cover.
Consistency from cover to cover. Absolutely. Consistency. Let's consider some other prophecies. Prophets in the Old Testament who God spoke to, and they prophesied. Am I giving you enough of a clue? What are some of them? Yes, Ben. Isaiah. He prophesied very clearly. Yes.
Book of Daniel.
Book of Daniel.
He prophesied the very day that Jesus would come on Palm Sunday. The very day. 453 years, something like that, another day.
Amen. Should have probably had a microphone with that. Brother Rick.
Are you looking for things other than Jesus? In other words,
yes.
Like the prophecy of the children of Israel being enslaved in Babylon.
Yes.
How long? When
yes.
They return, and the details.
Very good. Perfect.
Hundreds of years before it happened.
Yes. prophets who spoke detail of captivity. They spoke detail of how people are going to die who rejected God and rejected His Word. I mean, it's just amazing. Go ahead, give me some. There are so many. You want to give me some? Some more?
Destruction of Tyre.
Destruction of Tyre. Yes. That city was so destroyed and so brought down that they even wiped the dust off of the stones. Others. In the way back, yes.
Noah's flood.
Perfect. Thank you. Amen. Yes, up here. Yes. When he smote the arrows on the ground only three times, and there was a defeat. Three times they were defeated. Yes.
Jacob prophesied where each of his sons, what part of Israel, each of his sons would later move into when the children of Israel came out of Egypt.
And it came to pass exactly as was prophesied. Yes, in the back.
The giving of the Holy Spirit. Was prophesied that in Joel that the Spirit would be poured out on sons and daughters. And we saw the Holy Spirit come in the book of Acts, and that He is with us even now.
Amen. Thank you. The prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Brother Jeff. Yes, the prophecy of Israel becoming a nation again in the end times through various prophets. You know, I think of somewhere like where they prophesied how that Jezebel was going to die and the dogs were going to come and lick her blood. Was that Jezebel? You know, I mean, you talk about you think of Elijah saying, it's not going to rain except by my word. And there are just numerous prophecies that were given where God spoke to these men who walked with Him and who heard His voice, and they made bold declarations by the word of the Lord. And everything that they spoke came to pass. In fact, God gave us a very clear warning concerning how to identify a false prophet. A false prophet will speak and he'll say, thus saith the Lord, but God says, you don't have to fear that man if what he says doesn't come to pass. I have not spoken to him. And when you consider the prophecies that were given over and over through God's prophets and how they came to pass in minutest detail, it is such a tremendous witness to the testimony of the divine inspiration of the Word of God. What a privilege is ours to have the Word of the Lord and to believe the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise and to instruct us and to fill us with wisdom and bring us into that completion and perfectness in Christ. Another thing that we see very clearly is the unity of the Scriptures. And we could go many ways with this study here this morning. We could use an example of explore the book. Baxter's Explore the Book and go through it that way. I didn't feel to do that with the limited time we have. But let's look at some other things, and that is the unity of the Bible. How many books are there in the Bible? Very simply. 66 books. And how many authors are there? 40 authors. Let's see, as I studied here, yes, 40 authors. And these authors were from all various places in life. Some were kings. Some were well-learned men. You think of David writing the Psalms, a king. You think of Moses and Paul. And then you think of Peter and John. And these writings cover a span of how many years? We had that earlier. Somebody shared that. The writings of the Scriptures, according to my studies here, was like 15 different centuries. Is that right? Would be about right? Yeah, like 4,000 years. They were written before and during Israel as a nation. And we can see a very beautiful unity, as was mentioned earlier, in the Scriptures. One thing that we also notice here is that no book has ever been put to as severe a test as the Scripture. Men have tried to stamp out and get rid of the Bible down through generations. Why, if it's just some man's imagination and it's just some book like any other, have men been so determined to try to get rid of the Bible? Somebody want to share a story this morning of how God has preserved His Word though men tried to stamp it out? There are many. Yes. Maybe you can have a microphone so all can hear. How the Lord has preserved His Word in the face of the severest tests against it.
I guess I wasn't thinking quite so much of men trying to stamp it out as it was of the Qumran cave in where they found the Bible preserved after 1,000 years, and it agreed with what they had copied through the years. And I think that's such a testimony of God preserving His Word.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Someone else? Yes, raise your hand. The ushers will get a microphone to you so they can all hear and be edified together. Claire?
I was just thinking of memorization. People memorizing the Bible,
yes,
even if it's been taken.
Yes. John, get a microphone there.
I don't necessarily know the story, but I think of William Tyndale attempting to translate into English the Bible and how he was so greatly persecuted in his attempts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, another hand in the back there, right beside you there.
I think of the French man Voltaire that said that in his lifetime that the Scriptures would be eliminated. This was back in the 1800s. And within a few years after his death, his house was being used to print the Bible.
Praise God. Look at that. Men have risked their lives to translate the Scriptures and to print the Word of God. They have set up printing presses underground and risked their lives to get the Word of God out. The Bible has been imitated. It has been partially copied and twisted by false prophets to take from the Holy Scriptures and to twist it and publish another book with a lot of wisdom from the Word of God in it, but then twisting it and try to gain a following, and some have. Some have gained some following. But the Word of God stands sure and true today. It will never fail. One of the other things that we can look at is the reliability of the Scriptures. How many books are printed, and if they're any kind of textbook of learning or science or something, they need a revision and an update in not too many years. The Word of God still stands today. It doesn't need a revision. It doesn't need an update to our current culture or our current life. It is applicable today as it has been from the very beginnings of its printing and of its utterance from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Its reliability. I love that. Anyone has something they want to share on that vein? Yes, Brother Luke. we'll get you a microphone so that all can hear. And if you have other thoughts, feel free. But the reliability, go ahead, Brother Luke.
So one reason it's different is because it's alive.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, you know, in comparison to that, if some billionaire would make some promises on this earth to a few people and he had the means to fulfill them, they could be alive only as long as he's alive and his money is there. But as soon as he's dead and his money's gone, those promises are gone. Those words are gone. But our God is much bigger than this here a billionaire, and he lives on. So all his promises and all his words are backed up by the God of the universe. So that book is alive. It's not a dead book.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Let us be edified together. You've come prepared to share something that will bless us concerning why you believe the Scriptures. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about reliability and the fact that history and archaeology has only proved the Bible instead of disproving it so many times over and over again. For the longest time, they didn't think Pontius Pilate had existed. And then they found a stone with his name carved on it in Israel. And so many other stories like that. Nothing has science and so many other studies have only proved the Bible. Nothing's ever disproved it.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, Brother Luke.
I like to add, it's sometimes hard to convince the skeptics that the Bible's true from the Bible, because they're not believing what you're saying. They don't have the Bible. So if you don't believe the Word, so how can you prove from the Word that it is real? Well, I think we have a scripture that explains that very well in Romans. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. A nature, for the Bible says that the things we can understand and can see prove that there's a God, that they are without excuse. And the Word of God comes very close to either being God or there. So I say that the skeptics are without excuse by the evidence that is around. And that's how I know that the Bible is real. As it has experienced in my life, but it's true to me. Most of the Bible must be taken by faith. We can't understand it, but the few things that I do understand are like real, and the things that I don't understand, some of them, because I take them by faith, I do understand them, and they become real. So the more things that I don't know, that I continue to believe, and then become reality, to me that's proof that the rest of the things that I'm taking by faith and don't understand are also sure.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes. There's another hand. Go ahead. Yes.
The fact that the Bible is translated in many different languages and yet has the same effect on people, it doesn't matter what their background, their culture, their language, it has the same effect across the world. Other books that are written are written from a cultural perspective, and we may read books from across the world, it doesn't make sense to the way we live, and yet the Bible applies to everywhere in the world.
Amen. It's good. Thank you, brother. There's a hand up in the front, and then there. Go ahead, Marla.
I had to think of how Elam, his opening, he said that he feels like God has called him to go, and how do you know that God has not called you to go, called you to stay? The same thing with the Bible. You know, somebody says, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, how do you know the Bible is not true? Then also, a verse that's very true in my life is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. just the fact that that verse is very true and it's very real in my life proves to me that the Bible is true. And also, God has promised to never forsake us and to leave us. And He has promised to send the Comforter. And these verses are very powerful. It's proved that the Bible is true in my life.
By your own personal experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Brother Rick.
Amen. Yes, there's a lot of good books out there. And those books have, all books have information or maybe stories, which are also informative. And though the Bible gives information and though it has stories, it does something no other book can do. It is a revealer of the heart to the degree that it can divide even into the joint and the marrow. And it is when it does that, it then does something no other book can do. It calls every man to a decision. You cannot read the book, Bible, truly, and remain neutral. It's a call to a life-changing decision as it reveals your heart, and no other book can do that.
Amen. Amen. Reminds us of accounts of men who have read the Bible to prove it to be false, only to get converted. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Brother Jeff.
I have one such story right along those lines, Brother Aaron. In fact, I brought the book this morning. It's been on my shelf since 1983. As a new Christian, this was one of the gifts given to me from a mentor. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It was written by an ambitious young lawyer named Josh McDowell who set out to disprove it. I guess he'd been witnessed to on campus and got tired of the witnessing, so he set aside his career. He wanted to be a governor of Michigan. And he spent a good amount of time researching original manuscripts or what they call textual criticism. He compiled a lot of evidence into this book. And one of the verses that he bases the title, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, on is found in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." He takes the evidence from this passage, 500 witnesses, and he puts forth the challenge, what if they were all assembled in a courtroom setting? Their testimony would be completely united, their lives would be completely united, and many of them were martyred, given the opportunity to lie, and they could be set free, and they refused it and accepted death. That's evidence that demands a verdict, that this is the Word of God, that would stand in any modern courtroom setting. And it's an excellent book because of the logic that he uses in it and the evidence. So I think that's very encouraging that a skeptic could set out and do the majority of his research as a skeptic. And then he sat down and realized, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. The evidence pronounced sentence in his life that he was going to hell. And he became born again and has to this day dedicated his life to traveling to campuses all over the world. He's been to 400 universities, 42 countries, and spoken to millions of college students. This is a former skeptic. Even had a chance to meet him and his wife, and they've adopted little children, and his ministry is continuing to this day. So yeah, like Brother Rick said, it changes a skeptic's life.
Yes.
And it can stand the scrutiny of any other skeptics who refuse to change in their courtrooms.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Its effect upon those who read it, the Word of God. That's another reason we believe the Scriptures are the inspired Word of the Lord, living Word of God. There's a hand over here. Someone else have the other microphone? There's a hand in the back there. Go ahead here to my left up front. Go ahead.
Sure, I can clearly tie this all together, but it seems all other religions bear testimony to some aspect of Judeo-Christianity. Just a lot of Eastern mystical religions, a lot of New Age, somehow worships nature. Some religions call the earth the mother, the sister. They are fulfilling that scripture in Romans. You know, they see that there's something there. Mm-hmm. Last night, some of my children wanted me to sleep with them in the sleeping bags outside. It was a beautiful night. And as we lay there on our backs looking up, trying to comprehend the vastness of the night sky, where we couldn't see anything of the earth but just the sky, and the vastness of that, and how great our God is. And then my thoughts went on to a lot of young people that do drugs and that are into New Age. They see nature. A lot of young people have tried to walk off mountaintops, and in their twisted minds and in their darkened understanding, with, you know, be clouded judgment with drugs and everything, have attempted to enter into God by jumping off the top of a mountain into the sun, or staring into the sun, or going out in the woods and trying to unite with nature. Their own heart bearing them witness that here is something of God, but they worship themselves and try to erect a God unto themselves. And we see that in almost every Eastern religion, mysticism, and New Age teaching, some form of the living God. People in their hearts seem to instinctively know, but then if they don't acknowledge Him as God and are thankful, it becomes twisted. But there's something there that just they just can't get away from the facts as the God of the universe created them. It just struck me.
Yes, thank you, Adam. And there's a hand in the back. Go ahead.
I was just reflecting here. There's a few things that come to my mind. One is creation, just as Brother Adam was saying. If we look up into the sky, and it's amazing how as years go on, the scientists are able to see further and further out into space, and it just keeps going. The further they can see, the more they learn. And the other principle is that when the Bible is taken out of one's life, or if it's taken out of a community, or if it's taken out of a people group or a nation, we see the effects following. And those are always consistent and sure. The Bible was taken out of our schools in America right. And immediately following was when the national debt began to be and has grown ever since. People lose wisdom when they lose the Bible. And the other thing that amazes me is the real-life illustrations in with the children of Israel. And if you look through those things about how the children of Israel were released out of Egypt, how the Red Sea experience, how the wilderness experience, the crossing of the Jordan, the conquering of the land of Canaan, and all those things was something that really did happen. It was real life for some people. But it was God ordained, and I see so many parallels in my life as I read that. My own personal, not saying the billions of other lives, but just my own personal life, I can glean spiritual applications that are a perfect fit of what happened way back then in a real physical way. And it just amazes me how that all fits together.
And thank you, Dan. Yes, Daniel?
I would just like to underscore the role of faith in knowing that the Bible is true. I was just thinking about the skeptics can say this or skeptics can say that. Just last week, I was reading something about the book of Daniel. And this article informed me that skeptics will claim that the book of Daniel was written after the prophecies were fulfilled. And, you know, I don't think I have enough intellectual capacity to answer the argument of all the skeptics, but I know that God has what it takes to answer the skeptics. And no matter what skeptics may say, we still answer to God. And no matter what skeptics may say, we still do have our Bible. We still do have a relationship with God. And it all really does come back to that living word. The Bible is the living word of God. It lives in our hearts. So, praise God.
Amen. Let's consider the effect of where the word of God comes into an individual heart and where it comes into a people group. And you look at whole nations that are totally changed when the word of God comes and people begin to believe the scriptures. It takes people from a life of slavery. It takes them from a life of murderous living, headhunters, and it changes them into sons of God as they believe the word of God, and it changes nations. It changes whole societies from where, let's say, for example, in some of the African nations where polygamy was just the norm and it was just the way of life, women were oppressed. But when the scriptures come and people begin to receive the light of the Word of God, it changes their lives. And one by one, people start getting converted, and the light of the gospel comes into their hearts, and the wisdom of God, what God has spoken, what God has said to every situation, every circumstance of life, and things begin to change. You notice that? But the reverse is also true. Like Dan shared, where a people reject the Word of God and reject His Word and His counsel, we will then start regressing and digressing and go back to awful heathenism and all kinds of wicked and evil deeds if we reject the Word of God. But where the Word of God comes and it is embraced, it brings transformation. It brings a change of heart and of mind and of life. It lifts up a standard of purity, of holiness, of love, and blessing, and whole societies are changed, whole cultures are changed. Maybe someone would have a testimony of that here this morning. Maybe even a first-hand account, or as you have studied that aspect. Elam, there's a hand up front here. If we have a microphone. And others, someone else have something they'd like to share as a testimony and witness to the power of the Word of God coming in and changing people's lives. Elam, and then is there another hand?
Not a first-hand account, of course, but there was a newspaper article here a number of years ago from an atheist who had family, and I think he grew up in Africa. So he was witnessing what missionaries were doing there. And he had a heart to see the economic difficulties and the poverty and so forth in Africa change. And he grappled with answers for that. And this is an atheist. So, you know, he can maybe have some programs and so forth that help. But he came to the conclusion that as much as they try, as much as they do this or that, it's when the missionaries come and share this, whatever it is, that people change.
Amen. Thank you. Someone else? Yes.
I think most of us were at Missions Conference in February. We heard Mark Zook share about the tribe he was working with in Indonesia, or New Guinea, I mean, and how they completely changed. Their women were oppressed. Their family and structure totally changed for the better after the gospel came.
Praise God. Amen. The people no longer run wild and naked. They now have the vision and heart of God and the testimony of God, and their lives are converted, they're changed. Yes, on the sister side?
My thoughts went to Nineveh. Jonah came with the word of God, and the whole city was moved, and they were spared.
Yes, Nineveh. Amen. Maybe you came with something to share this morning that I haven't yet touched on. Is there any doubt in our hearts and minds that the Scriptures have been given to us by the inspiration of the God Almighty, breathed out, holy men spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost over hundreds and hundreds of years and gave prophecies right down to the minutest detail that were fulfilled? Yes, Brother Jeff, if you can have the microphone.
I have another thought that I'm struggling to solidify, but I'll try it. I'll start with a verse here in John chapter 7. Jesus said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And there are a lot of doctrines in various world religions. But the proof is in the pudding, as the old saying goes. Just not too long ago, I had a discussion with my Muslim landlord about, I guess, what we would call some of the plain doctrines, where the Anabaptist forefathers decided we're not going to intellectualize the Scriptures away. We're going to do them to prove them. And one of those doctrines was divorce and remarriage. Another one was loving your enemy. And I discussed that with him. I said, "Is there any place in the Quran where you see those two doctrines?" And he said, "No, we're allowed to divorce and remarry." I said, "Well, how about loving your enemy?" "Absolutely not. You hate your enemy and you take advantage of your enemy." I said, "Do you believe in both of those doctrines today?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, basically you're confirming that you and every other religion in the world can live these doctrines in your own strength. But it's only a narrow road, a narrow group of people who can uphold just these two doctrines. And the only way they can do it is if God Himself in them keeps that marriage together or gives you the love for someone who hates you and has done you wrong." So it seems that the doctrines of Christianity demand action. But it's an impossible action unless you're born again. You must be born again to love one wife faithfully for life and not even commit adultery emotionally or with your eyes. You must have Jesus in your heart to love your enemies for life when every flesh in you wants to take their life. Every drive in you of your flesh wants to kill. So that was a good discussion to have with this man. And I think that discussion would hold the same weight with anybody of any religion in the world. Only the Bible raises a standard so high that God living through a believer could keep it.
Amen. Thank you, brother. One of the things that would be good to touch on is that the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God, which is given to us, are not to be trifled with. There is warnings given on trifling with the Word of God. And there's many of them. And many have trifled with and tried to pollute the Word and mix it with human philosophies and all these things, as we mentioned earlier. But God has very clearly given us warnings about trifling with His Word. And maybe rather than ask you for input on that, I'll just share a few. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be those that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And then he gives this very clear warning that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. And then in 2 Peter 3, he speaks of Paul writing in the Scriptures and in his epistles, speaking of these things in which some things are hard to be understood, they which are unlearned and unstable wrest the Scriptures or twist them, as they do also other Scriptures to their own destruction. And then in 2 John, he tells us there that many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And then Jude, in verse 3 and 4, he says that we should earnestly contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have in Revelation 22:18, he says, I testify to everyone that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So we have a very clear warning of not trifling with the word of God, not adding to it or taking away, and not twisting the scriptures, and not receiving any who bring another doctrine or another gospel. Well, I think I'd like to, with the few minutes we have left here, sort of turn a corner and let's share some applications to our hearts and how that we can take this Word of God and how that we can benefit and be blessed in the Word of God. I think of many different scriptures. Let's see. I have a few written down here. Maybe I'll give one more yet concerning the Word of the Lord before we move on into some other sharing here. And that is concerning the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 12:48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Those are awesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the word that he has spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, for he has not spoken of himself, but he has spoken that which the Father sent him to say and gave him commandment what he should say and what he should speak. So the Word of God is eternal. It is settled forever. It will not fail. It will not lose. Not one jot, not one tittle shall fail. Maybe you can share with us here this morning what the Scriptures speak concerning the Word of God itself. What is the Word of God likened to as we look at the Scriptures and some of the examples that are given, some of the encouragement to us? Does anyone want to share something this morning concerning the Word of God and how that it speaks to us concerning our life? Yes, there's a testimony back there. Go ahead.
Yes. I was just thinking about how wonderful it is to know that the Word is God, you know, according to John chapter 1. And I was just thinking about so many different people groups and other denominations or religion. They tend to focus more on articles outside of the Bible, like a Catholic woman tried to persuade me to become a Catholic a couple of weeks ago. And I asked her, do you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God? And she said, yes. But she kept on saying, well, I have this pamphlet that I want to give you that explains the catechisms and stuff. I was like, if you believe that the Word of God is inspired, it's His inspired Word, then why don't you just go to the source? And the same with Mormons. So we had Mormons over, and, you know, they had the Bible, but they were, you know, leaning more towards their Mormon book. And, you know, I was just also thinking personally throughout my walk, the Ramas that God has given me has just comforted me in times of need and trouble, and also in times of happiness also, how God's Word is so powerful like that.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony. Beware of false religions often will come lifting up some other book. You know, the Book of Mormon, the writings of Joseph Smith, or lifting up some prophet, some other man, and, you know, to come alongside the Scriptures. Is there another hand over here? Yes. Go ahead.
I just thought when you asked what the Word of God is to us, obviously we all know the verse that God's Word is a lamp to our feet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I had thought about when I began thinking about how I believe that the Word of God is true, and it, I guess I sort of went where Brother Luke had gone earlier, that I believe the Word of God is true because I believe God is real.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Others came prepared to share something. Go ahead.
Sure that being raised Catholic and being raised in a religion, I never had the peace I have in Jesus Christ. And I don't care how many years you're on this earth, you'll never get peace in religion, but you'll get peace with Jesus because He lives and dwells in each and every one of us. Yesterday down at D.C., we met a couple of young ladies, Brother Paul, Lloyd, and his family, and some other sisters spoke to him probably for an hour. She doesn't believe in Satan, and she doesn't believe in God. She just believes we came from apes, you know, animals. And we prayed with them before they left, and they were heading back to Denmark next, I think, Monday or Tuesday. But there's many people in this world today that are selfish, and she admitted it. She was selfish. And that comes from pride, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't, if I understand this correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, God doesn't give grace or mercy to people that are pride. Am I correct, Brother Aaron?
Yes, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble.
Right.
Amen.
So, God is good. Don't ever give up on God. Just like Brother Elam was up there talking, there is more. So don't ever give up. If you want more and you're hungry, the ocean's deep and Jesus Christ is, He'll give it all to us until we meet Him in heaven. And I praise Him every day that He gives us another day that we could just walk on this planet and shine for Him. Not about us, about Him. And pray for our brothers and sisters. Remember, this is a family. God put us together. I would have never met you if it wasn't for people that introduced me to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I am very happy and very fortunate. And I think you all are too.
Hallelujah. Amen,
thank you,
brother. Yes. The Bride of Christ. Over here.
Psalm 119:103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And several weeks ago, I was going through a really hard time, and I got an email from Angela Rudolph, and she was sharing how they were climbing a mountain. It was a very steep, difficult mountain, and how they had honey with them. Every now and then, they'd take a spoonful of honey to give them energy to get to the top of the mountain before sunrise. And she just shared that I need to keep eating honey.
Mm-hmm.
And That week or the next day, the Lord really used a verse in His Word just to strengthen me. And, I really can say that God's Word is sweeter than honey.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, sister. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Yes, Mike, over here. Praise the Lord.
One thing that I've enjoyed and been blessed by, as far as the Bible is concerned, is that it always goes to the highest extreme or the highest possible proof to convince us of of the point it's trying to make. Like in the love of God towards us, it says that hereby perceive we the love of God, in that He died for us. You know, we understand that greater love hath no man than this, that He give His life. And so that, you know, God dying for us, nothing more or bigger or better could have been done to convince us of God's love. And so it goes to the highest extreme to prove its point. And things like, it says that for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. And so a reward was given. And the Bible sets out the greatest reward in heaven for the longest length of time to, you know, to encourage us to walk with God. And, you know, things like God being with us, He comes and dwells in us. And so I am not sure why we ever doubt God's love or His goodwill towards us in the great things He has done, you know, to prove His love and His goodwill towards us.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Amen. Here's sort of a crowning verse out of Psalm 138:2. Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. The word of God shall forever stand. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away. They shall not pass away. I think of how Jesus, being filled with the word of God, He resisted temptation with the word. And that's my heart for us here this morning. There's many things that are on our hearts, but you know that we can be so filled with the Word of God that when temptation comes, we can, like Christ, say, it is written, and be able to overcome the temptations that we face. For it is written, the Lord has spoken. It is written, it is settled, and we have it settled in our hearts. You know, they can never take the Word of God that we have in our hearts. They might be able to take away our Bibles. They might be able to take away our electronic gadgets where we have the Word of God upon and stick us in a cell in solitary confinement. But the Word of God they can never take from us is that which is hidden in our hearts. And so I want to encourage us here this morning that we, like the psalmist, we delight in the word. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And that more to be desired are they than gold, and yea, much fine gold. And that we take that word in, and we study to show ourselves approved unto God, and we have the word of God hidden in our hearts. And then that we could be like the young men who are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. I'd like to turn to that one. Turn there with me in 1 John. Chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and we'll just close here in a moment. But I thought of this scripture. So often we quote the verse right following, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And while that is so true, but I'd like us to look at another scripture here just ahead of that, and that is in verse 14, let's see. Yes, verse 14, I have written unto you fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And I want to encourage us here this morning, young men, old men, young ladies, young sisters, older sisters, may we have the Word of God hidden in our hearts, and that this testimony can be our testimony. I have written unto you because ye are strong. And why are ye strong? Because the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome that wicked one. May that be our testimony as we love the Word of God, as we hide it in our hearts, that we wouldn't sin against the Lord, and that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. I was thinking, I wonder if I would dare to give us an assignment for this week. Y'all like assignments? Amen. Let's have an assignment for this week that we share with someone in our fellowship here local a word from the Lord that God has spoken to us that has ministered grace to our hearts. And we make it a purpose to share it with someone else. Let us go search and find some of that sweet honey in the Word of God, and then as it blesses our soul and ministers to us, somehow communicate that to someone else in the fellowship. Whether it's sending a little card, whether it's making a phone call, and blessing a brother or sister with the honey and with the sweetness of the Word of God that you have found, and share that Word and exhort one another in that way. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for sharing as we shared together and looked into the Scriptures of the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures and why we believe the Bible. And I want to just finish up with this to say, this is not an end in itself to just study the Word of God, but as we sung in the hymn before we shared the Word, beyond the sacred page, I see Thee, Lord. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, you could make this a means to an end to just study the Scriptures and to be dogmatic on the Scriptures, but actually not have the life and the heartbeat of Christ Jesus' living Word flowing within us. So, brothers and sisters, let us exalt Christ Jesus and let us look into the Word of God. Let us embrace the Scriptures, for it is the Word of the Lord, and it shall stand forever. And someday we are going to be judged by it. And hallelujah, may we embrace the Word of God now and let our hearts be filled with the Word of God and with power and grace in our lives. Thank you. Amen.
Bless God. He loves us, doesn't He? And one of the best ways He loves us is He gives us the Bible, whose grand subject is Christ. You know, if I had to say what is the grand subject of the Bible, ultimately it's Christ. You know, there are many purposes for the Bible, but it says in 1 John, we were just in 1 John in chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "These things I have written unto you," this is John talking about what he's writing down, which became our Scriptures, "these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And that's what Aaron was saying. It's not to just believe that we believe on the Bible, but the things that are written here, in other words, the Word of God is even written that you can believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's a blessing to our hearts. I hope you were inspired, comforted, and maybe even challenged a little bit to once again open the Bible and read it and know it and study it and let it become so much a part of you that it is your filter through which you see and understand life and the world. Because it is the mind of God for us that we think rightly. And I don't know any way a Christian can think rightly if they don't allow the Bible to become the foundation of their thinking.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.